Now, what I have to say this morning is the framework of it is largely taken from a sermon delivered by that famous preacher Charles Spurgeon towards the end of the 19th century, and that, we seem to remember that that's some 150 years ago. So you can say that any insight you gain is from that which was given to him, and any lack of insight you receive is what is withheld from me. And the text is Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. It's that verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness, that I want to speak about. Well, straight away we can see the subject is praise, and if we give the quickest of quick scans down the remaining five psalms of the book, we can see that in 146 as it opens, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises. And 148, and so on through to the end. It's a sort of grand conclusion, the songs of praise to the whole book of Psalms. Now, it's likely that we'll say to ourselves, yes, I'd like to praise God, but how am I to find the right words, indeed the very material to praise God with? And of course, it stands to memory, it stands to reason that we can't speak from memory what we don't already know, what we haven't already put in there. And so the first thing to do if we want to speak of God's goodness is to take note of it. We must let it strike us. We must let it be stamped, indeed, on our memory so that we can meditate on it and allow it to speak to our hearts. Psalm 103, verse 2 comes immediately there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Wonderful. I came across that verse in reading while I was preparing this, and it struck me as so apt. Thus, the first thing towards being able to give plentiful praise of God is to take careful note of his goodness. Well, I fear that most people don't see the hand of God in the many blessings and many goodnesses which they receive. Either they take them for granted as part of the ordinary pattern of life, or they recognize the blessings indeed and put them down to luck, just the flip of a coin perhaps. Or I think, personally I think worst of all, they consider the blessings their due, and they grumble when things don't go their way and things just simply aren't to their liking. And what it is that God is not in all their thoughts in any way, and so his goodness is not considered. It can't be if he's simply not in their thoughts. Others might complain of what they see as God's unkindness. Why me, they say? Why should this happen to me when sickness or accident or bereavement or financial loss or some other calamity suddenly strikes? If they see the hand of God at all, they probably complain that his justice is too stern. I was interested that Spurgeon said that there was what he called a modern philosophy, that the God of the Old Testament is out of date. Well, it shows how deep rooted it is. From what I can see, that idea is still very much to the forefront today. Such people, they don't like the God of the Bible, they don't like the God of the Old Testament in particular, and so what do? They invent another sort of God, or gods indeed, and they turn to them. But we are to accept God as revealed in both the Old Testament and the New. There's no division in the revelation, and we can only truly learn about him as he has made himself known in the Bible. In this way, of course, we can then observe and take note of his goodness. We can meditate on it, keep it in our memory, and so that we can recall it and speak of it abundantly. That means in fullness. Whenever we speak of God's great goodness, we should not forget at the same time to speak or to sing, as it says in this verse, to sing of verse 7, sing of thy righteousness, to sing of his righteousness. We know that God is gracious in rewarding those who serve him faithfully and believe in him. But he is also righteous in punishing those who rebel against him. It's an unpopular truth, but it remains a truth. Impartial and unswerving justice is as much part of God's nature as his inexhaustible goodness. And we should sing of both together. We need, I think, to remember the words of Psalm 97. Clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Now, we can't possibly catalogue all the goodnesses of God, so two instances must serve. And I think it's right to start where the Bible starts, at creation. We find that there is life and purpose in the highest heavens, as well as in the air we breathe and where we can see the birds flying around. There is life and purpose on the land. We're going to appear in love, particularly, aren't we? Everything seems is in bloom. The fruit and vegetables are growing. So there's life and purpose. And there's life and purpose in the seas. But of course, we can't always see it. So everything on air, land and sea, it absolutely echoes God's bountiful provision. What was it in that first hymn there? It struck me in hymn 15 there. Heaven is still with glory ringing, earth takes up the angel's cry. And that seems to say it, doesn't it? Jesus said, your Father in heaven maketh his Son, notice his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That is bountiful provision. And as I prepared this, I was reminded of the verse which I think is apt. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Christless eyes have never seen those wonders. Then, of course, there is the great goodness of God in Jesus coming in human form. And that is Almighty God stooping to save all who put their trust in Jesus. And then added to that, there's the goodness in the Holy Spirit coming to be with us. Jesus in his body left and sent his Holy Spirit to be with us everywhere. There is goodness in our adoption as children of God, and our preservation to eternal life. So the all-embracing, and it is, it's absolutely all-embracing goodness of God is brought home strongly in words I came to know on the first day of my teacher training, some 42 years ago, I noted, when at that time our family was given very great blessing indeed. And in her opening address, the principal of the training college used these words from Psalm 8. She used them as a sort of text for the work which lay ahead over the next 3 years. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? That's Psalm 8, verse 4. It's easier to see the greatness of God's goodness when we consider our own insignificance. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We find, of course, don't we, in our bodily lives, that we don't really fully appreciate the blessings of good health until we've just recovered from a recent illness, and then it comes to us with very great strength, because we remember a few days or a week or something ago we were sick, and now we're all busy fizzing over with health again. And in our spiritual lives, the same is found when we rejoice in the lifting of the burden of guilt of our sins. The goodness of God is revealed most strongly as a privilege to those who kneel in thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. All that goodness should be lodged in our memories, ready for use in abundant utterance. But how are we to make sure that it is firmly lodged? Well, in the same way we file business and personal papers and keep notes of school work, we keep these things for ready reference so we can lay our hands on them in an instant, so should we become more and more familiar with accounts of God's dealings, and a great indication, fair indication of that is, of course, when we see a well-thumbed Bible. It's an indication that its contents are lodged in the memory of the owner. But be careful. We must be careful here. Bible reading is not just a chore or an exercise of the intellect. The knowledge and understanding of God is to be stored in the heart. For Jesus said in a somewhat different context, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. After all, our most vivid memories are what we have experienced in our lives. And our religion really is of little avail unless it's had an effect on our lives. So we'd say you have this religion or that religion, if it hasn't affected one's life. And it's the experience of God's goodness in our own lives, it's that we can speak of most sincerely. For we make shopping lists, don't we, and notes of things we have to do. So why not consider keeping a list of the occasions when God has been good to us? Well, those are some ways of gathering material for praise. But this gathering is not only for storage, it's for distribution. They shall abundantly utter, says our text, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. That word abundantly, it suggests bubbling up like a fountain. It's bubbling up when it comes up as a fountain, then it goes forth, it goes, the stream goes downhill along the way. It's a strong, it's an active word, that abundantly. But we can't praise God abundantly to any who listen unless our memories can supply the material. And that again is, I said that before, really. So surely we like passing on good news, don't we? If we've got good news, we like to pass it on. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, says Psalm 105 there. Now, it's sad but true, other voices want to stifle the good news. So that gives us a reason for abundant utterance of it. They want to stuff the stuff. They'll spare no pains in stifling it, and that's a reason for making our telling of it abundant as we can, as abundant as we can. It does good to others. It benefits our neighbours. Many people are comforted and encouraged when they learn God has been good to their friends. It doesn't have to be a speech or a mini sermon. True, short instances, sincerely related, can be effective. It's not always easy. I must say, in my own life, I've not done it as fully and faithfully as I should have. But there it is, the recounting at a suitable moment, and that is something also, I think, to pray for, an apt opening, a suitable moment, just the recounting of a single occasion when the hand of God was on us in blessing. Because giving praise glorifies God. Well, we can't add to his glory, but we can make it more widely known by simply stating the truth about him as it has affected our lives. People will know if it comes sincerely from one's own life and not just culled from a book in that sense that one's read. I don't mean to say we shouldn't use instances from a book, but there's something else to when it comes from somebody's life. So that abundant telling of it is an important part of the commandment which the Lord Jesus gave when he spoke of loving God with all our heart and our neighbours as ourselves. Amen.